Well, since we have been on island, we have been running pretty good and hard. I'd say we're busy but balanced, and God has been blessing. It's been pretty amazing with what the Lord has been doing. We've spent time out on the military bases and sharing. There's a need with so many guys rotating in, the issue of PTSD. How many of you know that's real? Yep. People who suffer from trauma. And I went out there to speak to big old group of soldiers. And I'm a Marine. I'm a former Marine, not a soldier. So I'm on their base. And I felt like a pork sandwich at a Jewish luncheon. They're all looking pretty hard at me. But I did some demonstration stuff, and since the last time I think I've seen y'all, I acquired the world record for the fastest martial arts gun disarm, and I was able to do that for them and gain a platform and share with them, and really had a good breakthrough, I believe. You guys, please pray for the military folks, their families. It's not an easy life. It's anything but glamorous. And they are protecting and watching our interests while we rest. They don't. And we might not forget that. Does that make sense? And as the Lord would have it. So God has put in our heart this year, the next project we're doing as far as media or film, it's a film called Triggered. The absence of the abrasion of hope. Because when you don't have hope in your life, things get pretty desperate, yes? And people who suffer from the effects of trauma can get to that place of just, just isolation and hopelessness, and bad things can happen as a result. Right now, the divorce rate, I think it's 75% higher than the average American family divorce rate, and because of the stresses that go on it. I know this right now, active military, one person is killing themselves a day, suicide. Vets in general, 22 a day are committing suicide because they're at that point where they believe there is no hope and the only solution alternative is to end their life. And it's very, very sad. You talk about a substance abuse and violence. It's completely crazy. So the Lord put it on my wife and I's heart to make a film, and that's what we're focusing on in this next 6 months very aggressively. As we travel around the country, we're doing interviews with people who. The whole gambit of trauma have been suffering from kids to returning vets. And there's one very brave and courageous young girl, 12 years old, who suffered, at the hands of a stepfather who's now spending 24 years in prison for what he did to her over a time period. And this little gal, when I was down in her state, a friend contacted me and said, "Man, you come through here, you've got to meet this gal, this little girl." And it all worked out. It was God's timing, and I met her. And I think she had read the book a couple of times and watched the film several times. So for her, she was so thrilled to meet. She's just like, "Ah!" And it was like, "Well, hey," and we visited and got to talk about stuff she had went through. I got to tell her probably some emotions and feelings she's going to feel in the future, and then prayed for her. And do you know, a week after, and it was a big case, it was a well-known case in her state, I just got an email, it's been about a year, but a week after we left, the Lord so touched this girl that she took herself off all of her medication that the doctors had her on. And her mom said she's not had another setback. Hey, praise the Lord. So I do know this. God has made us to heal. And it looks different for everyone, but he's the healer. He's the only one that can heal, and mentally from trauma or whatever, and he loves us. But that little girl and her family, she wants to go on camera. She wants to be part of the documentary to share a little bit of her story and then look at that camera and tell every other girl who's been abused that it will be okay, that they don't have to live according to what they've been labeled, and that God loves them and turn it. Is that amazing? Talk about courageous. You don't see that. So we're very excited. We've got other people lined up. We're going to interview Christians and non-Christians because everybody suffers, right? And we're going to let other people give their perspective on kind of how they deal with it, whether it's drinking, fighting, whatever. We're going to let them share. But while we were out here, and we started filming, by the way, here in the islands. Well, we've got a film guy with us. It's Jack, Brother Jack. We brought him from California, and we've been recording stuff. It's pretty stinking cool. There he is right there. There he is right there. His brother, yeah. And he's very gifted. But have y'all heard of Captain Coffee out here? Anybody know about him? I'm going to tell you right now, someone you should know. I spoke at the Wahoo Vet Center for Combat Vets the other day, and he introduced me. And this guy, anyway, he was one of the Navy's top pilots. He was responsible for the reconnaissance mission in Cuba when we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. He was the one taking intelligence photos, right? But he was shot down over Vietnam. He spent 7 years in the Hanoi Hilton. And this guy is an amazing brother in Christ. And I got to meet him, and we became best friends. And we're actually going to interview him for the film, too. So the Lord is blessing. We ask that you just pray for us in that way. Does that sound good? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. If you open your Bible there, we're going to look at something that has certainly been burning in my heart. And it has become one of my life verses that I'll share for just a few minutes tonight. We're not going to go long tonight. You guys, we'll get in the Word, but my wife, she just can't wait to go clubbing. We're going to go dancing as soon as we're done. That's a joke. For those of you who don't know me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Title of this message is called How to Live Sane in an Insane World. How many of you think we live in an insane world right now? The culture. Let's take a little gander, because sometimes we can get so inoculated to the reality of where we're living, culture, our country, that the enemy is actually winning when Christians just sit back and do nothing. That's why I appreciate you standing, you know, sharing, man, to engage. We live in a very corrupt culture. Now, help me understand this if it's right. Since I've been on island, I thought I read a report that the HPD is wanting to extend or continue to make legal the right for undercover officers to have. Am I right, Uncle? Okay, for undercover officers to continue to have sex with prostitutes that they're trying to arrest. I don't know. That sounds kind of bizarre to me. I had to reread it and reread it. You know, eighth grade was the best 4 years of my life, so I kept reading this report. And I'm like, are they serious? They're wanting to legislate to make sure that an officer who's undercover doing a sting project on prostitutes can actually have sex with her and not be in trouble. Man. Common sense out the door. Unbelievable. You know, when we lived here on the island, had a martial arts school, we reached prostitutes too. I used to go down in Waikiki, and what we did, I didn't sleep with them. So, you know, I show you, you can do it without sleeping with the prostitutes. You can help them. But I'd go down there and offer them a certificate of training for 1 year to our martial arts facility. And I, you know, it was tough at first. You go in there and they're working. I'd say, hey, can I talk to you? And when they see you pulling this out, they instantly, you know, I used to get the quick kickback. If you're a Christian, you better leave me alone with all you. And I said, what's calm down, calm. And they said, you know, I'm trying to work. I understand. I just, when you get a second, I want to talk to you. I want to give you something free. And, you know, they're used to probably some people being pretty rude and obnoxious and all that type of stuff. So I just said, look here. I said, you don't know me, but you will. I said, my dad was a drug dealer and a pimp. So I understand you're working. I'm not trying to mess up your business. I'm just trying to give you something. And I remember the first girl was like, what? You know, they're off. So, you know, yeah. I said, it's a membership to our academy. We have one of the largest martial arts academy here in Hawaii. It's actually just down at Ward underneath the spaghetti factory. And I remember they were like, she's like, I know that place. That's yours? Yeah. And I went, what's the catch? I said, there is no catch. I said, you need a workout to keep your, you know, that's how you make your living. And she's like, you got that right. And I said, you certainly need to know how to protect yourself. That's crazy out there. She goes, now you talking. I said, well, why don't you come on? We're going to train you and keep you in shape, but we're going to help you in your mind, too, and even your soul. She goes, all right. Guess what? She showed up. I never forget she showed up. And then before we knew it, we had a bunch of gals coming in. And then they would ask, can I bring my kids? Can I bring my kid or kid? Bring them in. And, you know, and we got to start meeting these gals and hearing their heart. And I would ask them, how long are you going to work like that? How long are you going to do that business? And some of them, you know, just, yeah, they all spread out. Some of them were trying to be very intentional. 2 years. I have a 2-year plan. I'm going to save money. I'm going to do that. I said, well, where are you at right now with it? Well, I got to. And I said, you know, statistically, that really doesn't happen. And it's so high risk. I said, you're intelligent. Obviously, you're a salesperson. You don't mind rejection, right? I said, you know, there's an easier way. I remember as they were working out and everything's going good, we had a couple of gals come up to us and meet with my wife and I and let us know. And these were church women. And they came up and said, hey, we believe that there's some women here who are hookers. And I'm like, how can you tell, the stilettos or the fact that they're smacking gum doing kickboxing, you know, whatever? I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know. And when the church gals are hitting the bag like this, the prostitutes are going, oh, oh, they're taking out all their aggression. And I said, well, yes, there are some gals out here that we've been trying to reach and then work out. And they're like, well, you know, they have diseases and we don't want to catch anything. And I said, ew, that's true. But what are we going to do, make a prostitute class only? I said, I think it's a good idea if they get to see Christian women, you know, and become friends. And I guess God will protect us from stuff, unless people are sleeping with them in here, and that ain't going to happen. And some of these gals got so uncomfortable, they were like, either they go or we go. I said, let me pray. Okay, Lord, see y'all. Seriously, bye-bye. Bye-bye, don't leave me, I just leave. Because Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. Am I right? And I'll never forget the first gal that came, showed up one day, no classes or anything. She walks in. We're just going to say her name was Trixie, okay? Trixie. Trixie shows up, smacking gum. She walks in, she goes, all right, I'm going to go off the streets. I need a place to stay and some food to eat. What you gonna do? She said you'd always be here and all that, so here I am. I was like, oh, wow. It's go time. I said, let me call my wife. I called my wife, honey. Eileen said, well, bring her home. And we did. And she moved in with us. Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. Oh my gosh. Our oldest daughter still suffers the traumatic effects of listening to some of the stories of this guy. We'd be like, no, don't say that, no. That's okay. And you know what? All the time we'd invite her to church. But you think she wants to go to this church? It's our home church. You think she wants to go to this church or any church when you've been working the streets? Yes or no? No, because there's no way she feels like she would fit in, right? She's dirty. One day, Eileen and I, we kept praying. And one day she said, I'll go with y'all to church today. We're like, well, all right, come on. I never forget. She came and she sat down. It was downtown. And facing Pastor Bill, she's on the left side with Eileen, a few rows back. Really back, and she was sweating. I mean, it was poor girl, just, and yet she came, she would come again, and when, you know, when lightning didn't strike her and the roof didn't fall in and all of that, one day, Pastor Bill gave an invitation to get saved. Her heart's beating, and she wanted to go up front and get saved. And she told Eileen, if you go with me up there, I'll do it. And Eileen took her hand, and they went up, and she gave her life to Christ. God touched her, and we reunited her with her family, actually back east. You guys, God can do great things in the lives of anybody, regardless of the background, if we're willing to not be afraid to reach out. To become uncomfortable, right? If we're just trying to reach people like us, it's going to be limited. But if we listen to the Lord, His Holy Spirit, He will show us who to reach. And that's how the scripture starts off. For God's not given us a spirit of fear. Fear. So many Christians are paralyzed by fear. And it's sad. We miss out. Because fear is a tormentor. Do you know that Bible says that? Fear is a tormentor. In the United States, anxiety and panic disorder is one of the highest rated mental health issues we have. And look at me. I get it. I've suffered from it. I'm not up here pointing fingers. I'm just talking with you, saying those of you who have suffered, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Especially if you've suffered trauma. It can trigger you into all this stuff in your mind. Be kind of scrambled and fear comes on you. But I love the Word of God, which is really what unscrambles our mind. And the Bible says that God's not given us a spirit of fear. Each one of us, no fear. Now, I'm not saying all fear is gone because there is healthy fear. You don't want to walk out on the intersection with a Mack truck coming by. I don't fear. Okay, you're going to heaven. And we're to fear the Lord and reverence Him. I think that's an area that many Christians need to come back to is fearing God. Really reverencing God Almighty. He's loving. He's our dad. All of that. But shouldn't we have respect for Him that when we're tempted to sin, we're like, I don't want to do that. You know, there was a guy in our martial arts school here who, some of you are going to remember him. I ain't gonna give his name. But he came in and he was bowed up. He was stacked. He's covered some ink and he walked in and he was not a Christian. But they non-Christians appreciated and respected the value of our excellence in what we taught. So he came in and I forget he comes in and he goes, hey, so I want to train. I said, buddy, you don't need a train. I can tell you right now. I'm scared of you. He's all, no, I said, you look like you can fight pretty good. Why you want to train? He goes, I just want to do it better. I said, and normally I'd redirect those people. I'd send them somewhere else, but I really felt like God said, no, you take this one. I said, okay, well, we'll see. Come on in and train. He started training. started training. And then after a good, and just so you know, this guy was the bodyguard of one of the biggest drug dealers here on the island. Does that give you perspective? Where he would talk about three go out to the cane field, two come back. Huh? This guy's the real deal. He trained and trained. I'll never forget, after a while, man, maybe it was a year or something, this guy, the Lord got a hold of him. Because he was hanging with Christians who were normal. You know, we didn't try to be somewhere not, and you get hit by a Christian, you respect them a little more. And when you hit them and they don't get mad at you, okay, it's mutual respect. You choking somebody out or whatever. And this guy, I never forget, he gets saved. And after several months, his life really, really started changing pretty fast. And I remember maybe it was 6 months, I had a conversation with him. I said, man, your life is so changed. What is going on? I mean, I said, you really, it's evident. And he goes, well, Mr. Marks, or Shehan at the time, he said, Shehan, he said, when I read the Bible after I got saved, I didn't understand it all. I said, well, what part of the Bible? He said, well, no, there are a lot of parts when I read it. I said, what? He goes, no, why? I don't know. I read the whole thing. There was, I said, oh, you read the whole thing? And he said, yeah, but I didn't understand it all. I got real spiritual on him. Well, my son, listen, when you read the Bible, there's, you know, the Holy Spirit must illuminate all of it to you. And don't be too hard on yourself. You know, one day you'll be a spiritual giant like me. And before I finished pontificating, trying to let him know, it'll be all right. He told me, but the second time I read it, it made so much more sense. And I was like, Rabbi, teach me. Holy smokes, man, no. And here's what he said, because he was a pretty violent individual, but now I could just see the love of God on. And I said, man, what? He said, you know, the thing that made the biggest difference for me was learning about the God of the Old Testament, how holy and righteous he was, and how he dealt with sin. And he goes, it made me not want to sin. I was like, yeah, that sounds good. I was convicted just listening to him. I'm like, oh my gosh. Because, you know, it's easy as a Christian, especially if you've been walking with the Lord a long time. You go through seasons, and maybe you respected and feared the Lord at one point, and then you kind of got away from it, and, you know, and God, and all of a sudden God becomes Santa God, you know, and it's just like, oh, he's just big Santa Claus up there. Or some Christians talk about, well, you know, the New Testament, it's all changed. And God's not like any of that in the Old Testament at all. It's all changed. I go, well, really? I thought the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't know. I mean, times are different, but I think he's the same. He's still holy and just, and maybe he doesn't execute judgment like he did then, but he's still pretty holy and just, and stuff can happen. Take the book of Acts, for instance. What's them two people's name? Ananias and Sapphira, right? Right? Ananias, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and he comes back to the prayer meeting, and boom. And then his wife comes back in with Gucci bag and Coach, and she's been shopping with that extra money. And they said, she's like, where's my husband? Well, same place you're about to go. Any last words? What are you talking about? That was the Holy Spirit. Wow. And then if you go a little bit further in the book, go to the end. Revelation. Holy smackerel. I guess the Old Testament God come awake again, shave his beard, worked out a little bit, got bowed up and says, it's go time. Mission accomplished, right? You guys, we as a church need to fear God Almighty in a healthy way. But man, how many young people and single people in the church, and I speak all over the country, have no conscious fear or anything about living an impure lifestyle. Living with somebody and coming to church. And I'm not talking about somebody just trying out the church or kind of growing or not saved. I'm not talking about people who profess to know Christ. Profess to know the Lord, but they sit in the church and they're sleeping together and their conscience is almost seared where it doesn't matter one bit. It's sin, it's wrong, it's unholy living, it's actually evil. And it can mess up a church because people know them, and all of a sudden the world says, yeah, they go to that church, but their life ain't no different than ours. I don't need no church right now. Does that make sense? It's hard calling people on the carpet in love when they're engaged in a habitual pattern or lifestyle of sin, but sometimes you have to do it. I had a friend text me one time. He said, please pray for me, Victor. Me and my girlfriend are having problems. And I said, okay, man, I'll pray for you. And I did. I really prayed for him. And then a while passed and texted me again. He said, man, I know she's supposed to be the one for me, but man, it's not working. We're arguing. I said, pray for me. And he said this, I feel like the devil's trying to get in between us. I was like, oh, man, I'm gonna pray because I don't like that devil. Lord, don't let and I sensed the Holy Spirit say, hang on there, Vic. Ask him, is he living pure with her? Is the relationship pure? And I was like, well, yeah, he's a Christian. He got Jesus on his Facebook wall. Seriously, Jesus. And I said, oh, all right. And I texted him back. I said, hey, I'm going to pray for you, but I need to know, are you and her, living pure? And he goes, huh? That's what his text back, huh? I was like, huh? Without a response to that, I said, yeah, are y'all having sex? And he quickly replies, yeah, of course. We've been together 2 years. If I could have crawled through that phone and choked his neck out, I would have. Because I was thinking, you asked me to pray for you. It's like you asked me to pray for you to have sex with your girl. Are you kidding me? Where's the holiness? I'm not talking about somebody who has stumbled or even struggles walking and following the Lord. I'm talking about a person like that who just goes, yeah, what? Ugh. Fear. That's a healthy fear. To know that one day you will stand before God Almighty and give account. And a lot of people who believe in their own mind that they are Christians, but their lifestyle never represents it. And you can talk doctrinal stuff. I just know this, that people who really, really get saved, their life changes. Not about perfection. Trust you me as my wife. We put it in a movie. Nothing about perfection, but the direction of your life will change. Does that make sense? Oh. And then when you're living a life that's so honoring God, it causes naturally people in the world who are lost to hunger and thirst for that. What do you got? Hey, or when they're having trouble, they come to you and say, man, my marriage is jacked up. And God, man, he'll move. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power. What type of power is that? I would have to think it's the power of the Holy Spirit, the other guy, the Father, Son, and the other guy, the number three, him. Hey, he may be third, but he ain't least important. They're all equal. That's what the Bible says. Do you understand? And you know how I can explain that, of all about the Trinity? I can't. Okay, but I will tell you, is what it is, all right? And the Holy Spirit is there to empower us to live a life that's so far beyond what you and I ever think we could. That's supernatural. Does that excite anybody? Does that make you, even when you're alone, go, this is pretty cool. I got the Holy Spirit, or if you're charismatic or Pentecostal, the Holy Ghost in me. And he will empower me at those times that I never thought possible to do stuff I never thought I could. And he'll get the glory from it. Even when you're feeling like not a Christian. At our house just a few weeks ago, Eileen took the kids and she's walking out to take them to dental appointment or something. I don't know. She said, hey, honey, there's a repairman coming over to fix the oven. And I was like, not today. I got to just do some stuff. We're prepping for Hawaii. I don't want nobody coming over. She said, too late. It's already scheduled. It's going to be done. Let him in. I was like, and I mean, sure enough, boom, he knocked on the door. And y'all, I wasn't anything like a Christian. I just tell you, I was just like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Okay, kitchen's right there. Do your thing. I'm going to go get on my computer. Does anybody feel like I'm non-Christian, unsuper-sainted person sometime? I know people in ministry are not supposed to be like that. I feel like that sometime more often than not. And here he goes. He's fixing the oven, replacing something. And I just, all I want him to do is hurry and leave so I can just get back to being lazy. And he sees my dog outside. We have a German Shepherd. We got a black shepherd who's imported from Germany. He's a sweet dog, loves to bite. And but he's trained to do it, so it's okay. He's all, nice dog. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he keeps talking. Like, dude, just fix the oven. It's a dog, man. Leave me alone. And he just, wow, whoa, that's beautiful. Oh, I had a shepherd when I was a kid. I was like, don't come on with your lassie stories. Just, no, he keeps pushing. And finally, I have to engage him in conversation. Yeah, his dog. And I did say, yeah, he'll bite. He's a bite. You want to run? And then out of nowhere, this dude goes, I know this is probably real inappropriate. But when he had walked in, he had seen our family names. We have our mom and dad names, what it means, the kids' names lined out, and we have a big family portrait. And he said, man, I noticed this probably just, he said, but my marriage is so messed up. And then he started telling me about it. And I'm telling you what, within 5 minutes, I was like, dude, your marriage is messed up. Dang, I'm depressed listening to you. Wow. But because I was tired, I need to do other stuff. I didn't have, you know, I guess one of the fruits of the Spirit, patience. So I just went fast on us because he's looking to me for kind of help. And I just said, man, I'm sorry. I don't have time for like a counseling appointment, and I'm not even a good counselor. Well, I said, I'm gonna ask you one question. Do you know Jesus Christ in a personal way? Have you ever heard the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for you so you could have a real relationship with him? I just want to go to the root of it all right now. Huh? And he looks at me and goes, uh-uh. And I was like, wow. Here's Pastor Bill Stonebreaker's personal cell number. You give him a call. He's up all the time. No worries. He'd love to talk to you and counsel you again and again. Sorry about that. No, I looked down and I said, man, I said, no one's really ever explained the gospel. He goes, no. He says, but I have been trying to talk to God lately. And he told me about his background. Man, his dad walked out on him and his mom as a kid. He had a horrible life. I'm not going to say his personal stuff, but it's bad. And I said, well, man, here's the gospel. I simply told him the gospel in 2 minutes. I said, is there any reason why you shouldn't give your life to Christ right now? Because it's jacked up pretty good. He goes, I want to. How do you do it? I was like, well, pray this prayer, you know, and started praying. And I said, just tell God, talk to God, man, talk to him. Tell him you're sorry for your stuff. And he starts talking to God saying, God, I'm sorry, I've done a lot of bad. And then he just starts sobbing right there in the kitchen. He's just, God, I can't believe it. He's leaning over. And I'm like, oh, man, God, whoa. And I'm like, oh, you stand up a little bit. Let me get that. I know you're not a plumber, but pull those pants up or something. It's kind of, I don't want family to walk in, dude. And look, he gave his heart to God right there. God touched him, and he stopped, and he's like wiping the tears. He's going, man, I'm sorry. I don't know why I cried. I said, well, the Holy Spirit touched you. It's okay, man. That's a softening of the heart. I said, my eyes leak too often. It's okay. You guys, God will give you power to live beyond what you ever thought possible. But are you listening? Are you just, you know, when you abide in Christ, you don't have to make things work. He'll even redeem it when you're just, ugh. He'll say, silly kid, I'm still going to use you anyway. We got something to do. Now, come on, pay attention. So for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and of love. Love. This is what I want to say about love. I'm going to say this personally. For me, understanding and getting my know to really know that God loves me has been probably the hardest thing in my Christian walk. For some people, it seems like it's easy, like my wife. She just got it. I mean, just God loves me. I mean, she's just like swimming in the oceans of God's love and just, this is God loving, never doubt it. Me, I was like, I feel like there's a thimble of God's love and I can't even get in that thing. Oftentimes, we don't realize and believe the truth of God's word because the enemy has influence with lies that are keeping us from understanding and being in an unbelievable relationship with God in intimacy. When you get saved, it's just not about getting saved. It's about growing in relationship with him. Does that make sense? And I'll tell you, when I travel in the country and I talk to people and Christians, most, I'll say many, lack the full conviction and truth about how much God loves them. Because when you really realize how much God loves you, wow. When you realize when you're willfully disobeying God and sinning, in that moment of sin and rebellion, God's not up there waiting to hammer you. You're his child. He loves you. He loves you. Yeah, he wants you to reverence him and be in awe of him so you don't want to. But when you sin, he's not saying, all right, you're going to get it now. He's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Come here. Repent. Come on, repent. Don't that will mess you up. I've got something so much better for you. Single gals, are you listening to me? Even single guys? So often, the enemy will influence you with lies to get you to doubt that God loves you, and you'll start wanting to take control of the area of your life in the realm of relationship, and it will get you in trouble. Okay. Trust the Lord. Girls, ladies, look at me. Trust the Lord. If he's ordained you to be married, you're going to be married. Married women, raise your hand if you believe that's true. Proof, positive, right now. See there? So you single folks, if God has ordained you to get married, you will. Don't worry. Don't fret. Your eggs aren't going to dry up and you're going to, you know, be cast away on an island on a little P-roll boat or whatever. Listen, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Because the enemy, he'll lie to you and tell you, well, you know, you gotta lure yourself up. Is that an okay term? Like a fish lure? Yeah, you go sparkly and, you know. Don't you see them? We were just at the mall. You see them, they get all lured up there. I tell you right here, how you lure yourself up is what you'll attract. You want a piranha? Mm-hmm. You want a barracuda? Dress like it. You'll get one. Don't worry. They'll hit the bait. Tear you up and then go on their way. That's pretty good. I never used that. That's pretty good. I like the whole thing. I'm going to write that one down. God is, if you just trust God with your love life, being so in love with him, he's going to take care of you. He'll take care of that. Man, I wanted to get married bad when I was single. I got saved. I wanted to get married. I mean, like, pretty quick. Because the Bible says, you can't, you know, love until you get married. So I was like, well, I need to get married. I need me a woman. I want to get married. I'm just being honest. That was one of the things. Yes, I want to share my heart and life and get a soulmate. Do ministry together forever. That's part of it. I really wanted, man, I was like, Lord. And you know what? I didn't want to sin against him. Does that make sense? So I just say, Lord, Lord. And I never forget, there'd be older sisters in the Lord say, Victor, God will bring you a woman. I was like, oh, thank you. When? and he did. I met my future wife right at church. She walked into church. That's where I met her. And she wasn't even a Christian yet. And being the evangelist I am, well, I thought, well, I need to, Lord, help you save this woman. He said, don't you do anything with her. She's about to pray. Be her friend. Be her brother. Sure. And we became friends. And soon, I never forget, I mean, I'd watch her every service. When the pastor said, raise your hand, I was going, raise it, raise it, raise it. I get behind her, raise it, raise it. Look at me. I don't know, I'm just. And one morning, the Lord, her day of salvation came. He touched her. She yielded completely. Unbelievable. God touched her. And I was like, come to Papa. She's like, we're friends. I'm like, that's not what the Lord told me, you know. She's like, well, he'll have to tell me. And he actually did. She was with some friends, like suntanning or hanging out one day in their yard, and she was quiet, laying down. All of a sudden, she heard this very distinct thing that said, you're going to marry Victor. It was so effective in her, she sat up and said, no, I'm not. And her friend said, what? What? She goes, I just heard this loud thing. I'm going to marry Victor. I'm not going to marry Victor. I don't love him. He's just a friend. And I pulled back the microphone. Psych ops, baby, psych ops. I'm not going to let my military training go to. God did touch her, and it was in the right time, and I wanted to marry her. I wrote it down in my diary. I mean, my man recorder thing. Yeah, my man journal. And and it was actually about a year before she started seeing me with love eyes. And I never forget, same time, she started kind of getting sweet on me because, you know, I had all kind of issues. My issues had issues, you know. But here she's getting sweet on me. I got an invitation because I was training, folks. I love training. But I trained a singer, the Beach Boys. You ever heard of the Beach Boys? Yeah. But it was Brian Wilson, one of the Beach Boys. I trained him, and they invited me to come be his bodyguard and assistant and travel with him, all that. And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. A lot of money. I live in Malibu. That sounds great. I'll never forget. We were friends. And she looked at me now as a sister in the Lord when everybody else was going, whoa, praise the Lord, Brian Wilson, you go and evangelize all them heathen. I was like, yeah, I think I will. And I'll never forget, I was telling Eileen, yeah, you know, I'm looking at this opportunity, and I told her whatever. And she looked at me and just said, one thing, did God tell you to? I was like, no, I couldn't say anything. I just went, what's that got to do with it? It's a good spiritual thing. And she just said, if God didn't tell you to do it, why are you even entertaining the thought? I was like, that's it. Come here. I'm giving you a movie kiss, girl, right now. No, I didn't kiss her. I wanted to. Man, I realized, wow, not only could we be friends, but we could be brothers and sisters in Christ. And she can tell me how the cow eats a cabbage when I need to hear it. And you know what? That's what you want in a spouse. Guys, you don't want somebody you just roll over. Gals, you don't want somebody you just, you know, yeah. Mutual. Does that make sense? So you can have a life together, glorifying God, an amazing life together. We just celebrated 25 years this year. 25 years. 5 children, 3 of them are adults. Hallelujah. Adults, as in adults, get out the house. Quit eating my food, adults. And we got two young ones. We got our second litter, and we're just so proud of them, an 8 and 10-year-old. I tell folks, we got tired of waiting for grandkids, so we had our own. And bless their heart, they're those spiritual warriors. They travel with us. We travel in a bus around the country, and you know, it's hard. It's hard on kids. We homeschool them, and I don't even know what grade they're in, but mom does. I just sign the report cards. I think one of them's a 9th grader, and did you graduate yet? I don't know. Okay, so, but you want to wait, single folks, and trust God to bring you that person so you have lifelong of love, because getting married don't mean it's going to be a good thing either. Marriage can be hard. You find out what a heathen you are when you marry somebody. You're like, man, I was a much better person before. You've shown me what a knucklehead I am. And you want it to be happy, although, you know, you want to be, man. One of the best books on marriage I've ever read was by Pastor Bill and Danita Stonebreaker, Spiritual Warfare and Marriage. I still recommend it to anybody. It's not very big, but man, is it powerful. It helped save our marriage. I think y'all put stuff in there about it. Y'all were counseling us at one time. Yeah. Man, get that book, married folks. It's in the bookstore. Gosh, get a copy. I ain't kidding. You see, God has blessed us. 25 years where, man, where we come from, we had some tough stuff. And our kids, we did the vow renewal thing for marriage. We just did it. And we want to be different, so only our children came. And then they presided over it. And they're the ones that gave us the vows of what to say to each other. It's amazing. And I love my son. He grabbed the Bible and stood where the preacher did. He's like this. He said, okay, y'all both need to make this promise. I was like, all right, it's your turn. He said, you promise to kiss mom every night before bed. I said, buddy, yes, I'll do more than kiss. I'd love that. That's fine. I'll kiss her all over her face, buddy. That's what kids want to see. It shows you the heart. You know what? Each one of our children told us why it was so important that we stayed together through hell and high water. You want to know about some leaky eyes? God, marriage is only momentary. So when it's tough and hard, man, look to the Lord for help, or else it can be hell on earth. I spoke for my wife at a, I want to tell them about hair on her. I spoke at a women's event. Invite me for a women's conference. I love speaking for gals. It's just us gals. And I spoke at a tea. My wife's supposed to speak at it, and it was a gala tea hat party deal, thingy, fundraiser. And my wife was pretty sick, and I went to this thing, and it was all fancy schmancy. I mean, I wore a tuxedo to just try to fit in, and a cane. It was ridiculous. And before I was going to speak, I said, well, let me go to the restroom. And I was walking out. And when I walked into this big hall right out of the restroom, this older lady was walking like this. And I was like, whoa, let me get out your way. And she went to the men's restroom, and she looked at me, and she said, is my husband in there? Ma'am, I don't know. She said, his name is Harold. I said, I'll check for you. Oh, but the thing is, it was a pretty long bathroom, and it was in a big fancy hotel. And before I could say anything, she comes walking in. Boom on the door, and she says, Harold, Harold, Harold. And she keeps yelling, Harold. And I'm like, oh, I'm backing out of this. This is scaring me. She goes, Harold, are you in there? And she starts kind of looking underneath the... And I'm just going, I'm holding the door open watching all of this. And it's long. It's almost, I mean, it's pretty long. And she gets to the last stall, and she's like this, Harold. And she sees 2 feet. And she goes, Harold, Harold. And then there's silence. And you hear this voice, ma'am, I can assure you, there is no Harold here. And I was like, I'm looking around, and she comes stomping out of that bathroom, and just, she looks at me like I did something wrong. I'm like, oh my gosh. She stomps down that hallway, and almost with perfect timing, as she takes the corner, on the other side of the hallway is the women's restroom, and the door opens. Guess who comes out? Harold. He looks at me and smiles. And I was like, I'm praying for you, bro. Hang in there. Marriage. Oh, my goodness. The last thing that God promises of the three things in order to be sane in an insane world, the first one is we're not going to have a spirit of fear. He says that. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. So if you got fear hovering around you, you rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus Christ. You plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. You take a firm, you engage the enemy with the power and the word of God. So you're not sitting in the corner getting beat. But the three things he promises is power, love, and the last one is a sound mind. Sound mind. Has anybody ever been in a place in their life where they just didn't think their mind was working well? Raise your hand. Children, raise your hand. Y'all's mind don't work. Okay, yes. I'll raise both my hands, okay? Some of us maybe struggle a little more than others, right? But a sound mind is very important for life and living. And I will tell you this, there are different ways to get a messed up noodle, but one of the worst is for you to openly, rebelliously reject God and enter into a lifestyle of sin. Sin makes people crazy. I mean, we know of friends who were involved in ministry who just because of sin starting small and growing and growing and growing, cheated on their spouse and then got a divorce and tried to shack up with people and didn't work. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, the adults will justify their actions and even repent before the Lord. And yet the collateral damage of them kids ticks me off. I get tired of looking in the faces of kids who don't have a dad around. Man. Jeez. If there's one thing my dad proved to all of us before he went to heaven, is that it's never too late to be a dad. That man engaged me when he was near 50 years old, which is very old. One of us had a birthday recently. Isn't it funny? Didn't 50 used to be old? Seriously? Right? Not so much now. Oh my gosh. I think it was me and my wife said 80's the new 30. So listen, man, my dad came back into my life. I was a young Marine. And from a fellow who he rejected me as his own kid, never engaged me, never wanted to be a dad. He comes back into my life when I'm in the Marine Corps, sends me a letter, and takes responsibility for his actions. That's what men do. Teenagers, you want to be a man? Or you want people to continue to call you boy? I never met a kid in prison that wants to be called a boy. I don't care if he's 11 or 17, 20. Don't call me boy. If you want to be a boy or a man, I want to be a man. Then what does a man do? Tell me what are the markings of a man. Well, I don't know. I just watched the videos and people who got money and bling, and that ain't a man. A man is someone who accepts responsibility, rejects passivity, gets off the corner from drinking a 40 and getting high. A man is someone who will love one woman, who he commits to, and provide and protect and correct his kids. And I tell young guys, you may not have the dad that's been that to you like me, but doggone it, you can sure be one. This morning I spoke on the other side of the island, and had a, over by Kaneohe, and I had a big old young Marine. He's a big kid, but just, and he waited in line, he got up to me, and I signed a book, and he had a little paper, and he just said, "Will you read this later?" I said, "Yeah, I'll read it. You wrote it. I'll read it." I put it in my little vest pocket and got back to the room, and I just started reading the first part of it, and he just said, "Mr. Marks, I've never had a dad figure in my life, but I've been following you and watching your teachings, and you sure model what a dad should be, how you forgive and you exhibit Christ." And man, I crumpled that thing up and threw it away and wiped it. Started looking for the ninjas that were cutting onions. I didn't throw it away. I was like, oh man. Because I would have never known it looking at that young man. Big old squared away kid. Well, there's other ways to get a sound mind, and I wouldn't be making a film if I didn't think trauma affected people negatively. It does. And you know what? If you've experienced trauma in your life at any level, it will affect the psyche part of your mind. More acute. My mind was pretty acute because of what I suffered. And I just tell you this, if you have crazy thoughts, it don't make you crazy. They're just crazy thoughts. Let that push you to lean into the Lord God Almighty, to get into his word. You know how many times I've used this scripture? God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. He's healed my mind up so much. Look, I had 123 visits to a trauma specialist in 9 months. Here, when I lived on the island, I was on Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, lithium, Buspar. I would have to go to the vet and sit next to my brothers from Vietnam and say, "What you getting today? Shot of how long? I get my blood work to make sure I ain't blow up inside. My wife was with me when the psychiatrist looked at me and said, son, your brain will never fully function again because of the torture and the craziness that you had to endure. Well, I look back and thought, well, my mind never functioned anyway. So much for your diagnosis. I know this. Jesus is the great physician. And sometimes you got to live beyond your labels, what people label you, what you label yourself, and start to learn your identity. And God can unscramble the eggs. It's not about perfection, y'all. It's about direction. We rested up in Maui before we hit here knowing I'd have 23 speaking engagements, which is pretty a lot. I don't care how you'd cut the math. What I struggle with more than anything, yeah, I still suffer the effects of PTSD at different times, but spiritual warfare is what gets me. That, I tell you what, man, beat me in my face with a blunt shovel before I don't like spiritual warfare. And man, it caught me one day over there pretty good. And I told my wife, I gotta get away and get with the Lord real quick. I pulled up on the beach and I just did what I knew I needed to do. And I turn on Christian music. I need to hear that. I got by myself because I start ticking. I have verbal tics where I talk out loud. You know, like people down at the park. That's me. That's my wife. That's my staff. I mean, I twitch. I start talking out loud. It actually becomes fun sometimes. Like, yeah, right. People look around. I want to carry a little ventriloquist doll some time ago. He's talking. And I got one good buddy I can text, someone that understands it to the hilt. He wrote a book on it. And I text him, I said, my mind's not processing things the right way currently. He said, call me. And I said, now, you got to understand, you know, when you're really jacked up, do you really want to talk to anybody? Please. I said, I ain't ready for a call. He said, Marine, you know how the enemy likes to isolate. Don't stay isolated. I was like, ugh. I said, all right, I'll call you in 5. He texts back, I just started my watch. I used every bit of them 5 minutes. Tick, tick. And I called him. It got better. Somebody prayed for me, gave me good counsel, and my wife realized it was all her fault that day. Well, let me end with this. Believe it or not, I see a lot of people that are struggling with issues in their life because of unforgiveness. That's one of the big things that'll keep a person from not having a sound mind. That unforgiveness will create bitterness and just, it gives a legal right to the enemy to come in and mess with you. Do you know that? The Bible says don't let anger, right? Or else a stronghold will take place. That's the enemy getting a place in your brain housing group to influence you with lies that you'll start to believe. And so many people have anger towards someone because they're like, ooh, I mean, they just want revenge in their heart and it's their job to, you know, go Old Testament on that person. You got to trust God Almighty that He is that judge we talked about. And one day, everyone will stand before Him on Judgment Day. If you've not accepted Christ, if a person's done evil and wrong, and broken, they will stand before God and pure justice will be doled out. One thing you got to know, pure justice does not get doled out on this earth. Are you kidding me? And certainly not in our country. With churches, I mean, with states legalizing drugs, same-sex marriage. Hey, I'm going to just tell y'all, as far as a country, this is my personal thing. I feel like I'm going to just share. We live in a very thin bubble of protection and so much of it is perception. You think 9/11 is the only incident that will ever happen to our country that's turned its back on God? Please, friends, wake up. It's one thing to have a sinful country. We're all sinful. It's another thing to legislate sin and tell the next generation it's okay to sin and have an affront to God because he don't exist and it don't matter. Oh, my goodness. I remember I went and spoke over in Colorado after they legalized marijuana. I spoke at a big old mega church. And I was like, wow. I'm surprised that y'all are paying attention. I thought y'all all be eating Cheerios and stoned out of your mind. I was just talking about the pastors. But you know what? Hey, it's important to me that we understand that as a nation, we got to repent. We got to turn our heart back to the Lord. We got to believe he's almighty. Because, man, this other stuff. But you personally, it starts with us. And if you're held back in your life because of anger or bitterness towards somebody, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get the, you let God do it. You let God do it. Does that make sense? Let that go. Forgive that person, meaning give up your right to hurt them back. God'll get it. God's got it. I have a friend. Again, I've had the privilege to use my skill sets. I've probably done more out of the military than I have in. Call honesty for our country, and I love our country. And I've had the privilege to work with guys and all kind of stuff. I don't care from whether it was force recon to SEAL team operators to CIA. And a friend I met with last year, been friends for years, and nobody would even suspect this guy. He's one of the greatest manhunters I've ever personally met, and I know a few. And he watched our film, and he shed buckets of tears and told me about his childhood, all them foster care homes, his biological dad trying to kill him with a bat, and then he turned and he let God redeem that stuff in his life to help him hunt injustice. He was called to it. And he said, Victor, I want you to have something. I said, all right. Now, he's paramilitary, but he's used greatly by the Department of Defense and some other agencies. But he said, I want you to have this. And he brought it to me. He had to go get it in the basement. And he brought it to me and he goes, here. And I went, thank you. We're friends. So I was like, it's a tile. What is that about? He smiled and he said, yeah. But I took it out of Osama bin Laden's headquarters when we bombed in Afghanistan. I want you to have it. And he pulled out a picture to authenticate. And I said, this is mine. And you know what it's always reminding me of? And I tell him, I'm talking to him today. It reminds me that no matter how much evil's done in this world and people think they can get away with it, judgment day is coming. And no evil deed will ever go unpunished. Not by God. That's why we all need Jesus Christ and that cross. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for tonight, Lord. And God, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you've not given us a spirit of fear in any area of our life, God, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And dear Lord, I pray for anyone here that would honestly say that they don't know you, Christ, in a personal way, that they can't say that they've been forgiven of their sins, that they've been cleansed and washed and feel your spirit inside of them and have seen the fruit of it. So God, I pray if you're drawing anybody to yourself, that tonight would be the night of salvation for them. If that's you, my friend, and you're sitting here or you're watching or you're listening to this or watching in a later date, the question's for you too. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is he the Lord of your life? Have you had your sins forgiven? And do you have the hope of heaven? If you do not, man, let's pray. Let's just get this right tonight. if that's you and you say, Victor, that is me. I feel this conviction and I want to give my life to Christ tonight. If that's you, let me pray for you. Anyone here, you would say, that's me. Raise your hand real high so I can see where you are. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God speaking to your heart. You may have come, you may be a church member. It don't mean you're born again. Who else? You say, Victor, pray for me. I don't feel like I really know Christ. This is my night. Who else? And I'll pray for you. Lift your hand up and put it down. Anyone else? What if you're here tonight and you feel the conviction of God's Spirit because you've chosen not to forgive somebody? And because you've not forgiven that person, you've given the enemy a room in your life. And you're tired of that. Tonight's your night to give up your right to hurt them back and to trust in Almighty God for judgment. Then I want to pray for you. If God is convicting you of that sin, and that's what it is, unforgiveness is sin. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand real high? God bless all of you. God bless all of you. And that hand being raised, it says freedom. Your hand being raised is saying, I trust you, God, and I want freedom in my life. I'm tired of being held hostage to this. God will take care of it. Anyone else, pray for me, Victor. I want to, and I need to forgive somebody that's bringing, God's bringing them to your mind right now, and you know it. God bless you. God bless you. The Holy Spirit's able to bring them to your mind. God bless you. God bless you. That's the working of God's Spirit. That's the power of God. Anyone else? God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to pray for y'all right now. If you raise your hand to receive Christ, or if you raise your hand about forgiveness, just, you know, say this prayer together, you guys. Say, Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my wrong. I'm sorry. Cleanse me. Wash me white as snow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I surrender all I am to you. And all those parts I didn't want to, I surrender to you right now, tonight. Fill me and overflow me, Lord, with your love. And with power, and Lord, with a sound mind, so you get the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.